Hello, and welcome to part two of Capricorn Astrology Studio. My name's Eric. Thank you for your patience while I got much challenging work out of the way. And now I'm here in a calm space to tell you a little bit more about your charts. And I do suggest that you give part one a second listen. There are always things that come out, even on the third listen, that just were not so obvious at first. And the same will probably be true of this reading. I want to begin talking about the passage of time and your perception of time as it pertains to your personal development process, and for example, where you might be in your development process, which is a difficult thing for people to assess. I find that typically the assessments are way off in one direction or the other, thinking that one is way ahead of where one is, or alternately thinking that one is way behind and will never catch up. And it takes considerable maturity to be able to treat time as an ally rather than as an enemy. This, of course, surrounds the issue of the finite nature of time from the standpoint of any one human being. We don't really know the big story, though certainly things seem to go back quite a long way and presumably will go forward quite a long way. But for each of us as a person, we're working with not only a finite amount of time, but an unknown amount of time, and it therefore helps to have methods of using time as a resource rather than as an enemy or a thing that we're up against all the time or don't understand. And part of the problem that we face in our era is that we've been dragged into this kind of eternal present, though it's not the kind of eternal present that provides much in the way of wisdom, like we read about in books like the Starseed Transmissions, for example, where there is a wide sweeping sense of perspective that comes from being in the eternal present. This is an eternal present of not being able to conceive of continuity. And so, in a sense, we're all working with a kind of a debility at this time in history, because so much of what we're inflicted with and impacted by and all that is trying to grab our attention right now. And there is a kind of a sense of no tomorrow. And I think a lot of impulse to get rid of yesterday because it just wasn't what we wanted it to be, particularly in the United States. We love bulldozing history, and what this does is it leaves a lot of things unresolved. And you are at a very distinct point in, excuse me, in your growth, because there are such potent factors that are present with you right now and that are shaping your character with a kind of a tectonic force, a force that seems to be beyond your ability to control it. And I would propose that this is in fact true. The two factors, as I mentioned previously, that are in your sign that matter the most right now, though there's a number of others that certainly have a considerable significance, but the big one and the timing factor is a conjunction of Saturn and Pluto that is tonight. It's about how many... Well, Saturn's all the way out to 13 degrees. That's amazing. It's about 8 degrees separate There'll be a retrograde of Saturn. However, this is an imminent conjunction in that it is happening. It's very close. The planets are already in their sign. That is to say, the ruling planet of Capricorn is Saturn, and that is in Capricorn, and Pluto has been in Capricorn for more than 10 years. And this alignment is one of those world-changing kinds of things. And we can see this in the fact that the world is once again changing very fast. And frankly, it's not too exciting, for example, to watch Britain need to somehow figure out how to extract itself from Europe as if that were possible, or for the United States to withdraw itself from NATO, which has provided stability and peace for Europe for more than 70 years in the wake of two really horrific world wars. And so when you look at those kinds of massive sweeping changes and many others that will follow in their wake, and then you consider that this is the very astrology that is influencing you personally, because this is all about Saturn conjunct Pluto. All of this edgy, this sense of inevitability, this sense of pressure building, is all about the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. And this is happening in your birth sign, and that means that you are personally experiencing some unusual form of pressure on you. And this is the pressure to change more than anything else. And the truth is that this aspect is changing you, and it will change you. And the most productive thing that you can do is to play a role in that, is to make your stake in your own process of change. I won't even necessarily say growth or development. We can leave it at the most kind of like elemental level, and then decide what kind of change we're talking about. Whether it's progress, for example, is to use this as a resource. You may be confronted by the question many different times of, do you have enough time to do what you need to do? And is it worth doing anything? And here we come back to the matter of whether time is an ally or an enemy, whether it's a resource or a thing that in some way works against you. And I would like to make the case here for time being the most precious resource that you have, and the most essential skill that you need to learn is how to use time well, and how to think of time in a sufficiently accurate and organized way that you can actually get your value from it. And therefore, the thing to pay attention to is an aspect that takes place 1 year minus 4 days from today on 1/12/20, which is the Saturn-Pluto conjunction. Jupiter-Saturn follows at the end of 2020. I'll come to that briefly. But the closing in of Saturn on Pluto can have a feeling of imminent change, like something is going to change and something has to give. And this is not always the thing that humans respond to in a constructive or creative way. In fact, I mean, it's possible to just have this feeling following you around all the time and kind of dance the night away or keep living the way that you're living without consciously choosing to make the adjustments and the adaptations and the moves that you need to make in your life, and to do so knowing that sooner or later the world or the process of time changing is going to act upon you, and then you will be the one who responds. And I am suggesting that you be the one who takes charge of this whole process and chooses to take concrete action rather than putting yourself in a position where you simply are waiting for something to happen. And I could see this being frightening. I mean, we're talking about extraordinarily powerful forces at work. The Saturn-Pluto conjunction is one of the most potent listed. If you read a bit of Cosmos and Psyche by Rick Tarnas, and you look at the Saturn-Pluto chapter, you'll see that all kinds of historical developments happen under this combination of factors, and the world is a different place on the other side. And the fact that this is happening in your chart so personally, in your birth sign or in your rising sign, or for example near your moon, is indicative of the fact that you can be ahead of the changes and that you can synchronize with the changes, and I think most significantly that you can play a role in the changes in the world. There was a long time in the like early to mid 2010s where I did a lot of readings for people who had planets aligned with the Uranus-Pluto square that had its epicenter around 2011. And my message then, as now, is that because you are so directly personally involved, you have a chance to benefit the most and to offer something to the rest of us. But the thing that is essential is that you be willing to do this thing that humans just find to be so exceedingly difficult so often, which is to change and to grow willingly. And it may seem hard to do that when the kinds of changes that you're being put through have this enforced quality, which is very much the nature of Saturn conjunct Pluto, where there may be emotions and challenges that run so deep you may not even think that you have a minute to, you know, do much of anything. You have to just constantly be responding to the latest thing that comes up. And this is where the use of time is really an urgent thing to get a handle on as a tool. And this shouldn't be too hard for you because your sign is ruled by Saturn. Saturn is kind of the master of chronological time, or Chronos. And you can, if you slow down, which is essential at this point, get a handle on the passage of time and how much time there is. And right now, I would propose that you have a year to wrap up certain matters of old business. And with a year to wrap up certain matters of old business, the progress that you make in the first season of that year, meaning the winter of 2019 and a little bit into the spring of 2019, will set the tone and the pacing and represent a kind of a down payment that you make on the process that you need to make. I have no doubt that you know exactly what I'm talking about when I say that there are changes that you need to make, and they're likely to be the ones that you personally consider to be the most fearsome. They may involve a relationship, they may involve a living situation, they may involve location on the planet, they may involve decisions you need to make about the way that you live, and the way that you take care of yourself. It's possible that all of these things are involved. Given that we're talking about Saturn, there's something here about your commitments, your level of responsibility, your professional role in the world. And these are all right now kind of on the table and calling for your attention. And so in the first year, this is really a two-year event that I would propose ends when the sun enters your sign in 2020 on the solstice, the winter solstice of 2020, which is when the events shift to Aquarius and have left Capricorn. Pluto will still be there, but Saturn moves on, Jupiter moves on, and we're really in a completely different dimension of reality. So this means there are really 2 years operative. 1 year where you will be highly focused on wrapping up old business. And that means settling your affairs. It means clearing clutter. It means making sure that the relationships in your life are the right relationships in your life. It means living in such a way as to use every single day that matters. Said another way, when you honor Kronos, there are no throwaway days. There are certainly days to relax and to chill out, but there are no days to waste. One of the matters lingering in the background, and perhaps not so far in the background, involves old family business. This happens to be one of the keynotes of the sign Capricorn, but there are factors that are arriving and that are taking hold and will be present for a long time that focus this particular matter on you and that describe it more carefully. There is an aspect structure in your chart right now, which involves a little-known minor planet, though I've personally written about it quite a bit and worked with it for 20 years, called Pholus, which was discovered in 1992 and was a significant watershed in astronomy when it was discovered. Is entering, it's now in Capricorn to stay, and it will be present in Capricorn, I believe, until 2042. I checked this last night. And so this is a long journey in Capricorn, as I speak. It's only in the first degree, Pholus is in the first degree of Capricorn. And so you have now begun in earnest. And one of the things that Pholus brings us is the unfinished business of the last three generations. Now, it's not exactly like you need to go back and like settle every one of the last affairs of the last three generations, but it is significant that you do at least two things, one of which is that you understand the impact of what happened, what the kind of lessons that have trickled down to you through the ages and ultimately through your parents are about. And so one of the things that is going on and that is highly focused for Capricorn is addressing family business, and in particular what your parents, who they are, what they taught you, what they said to you, what they imposed on you, and your relationship to their expectations. And there's a thing that goes on with a lot of people with a strong Capricorn signature, which is that they have a deep need to be seen as good people based on their parents' standard of that concept. And I would propose that it is unlikely that you will ever meet that seeming requirement on the terms that you think it emerges from. In other words, your concept of what your parents want from you is a very different thing than what they want, and it's a very different thing than what actually will happen. So what you're dealing with is your self-concept in terms of their your perception of their expectations. And so I suggest that you do some conscious thought around your perception of their expectations. And if your parents are still living, it would be appropriate to speak to them and to have the conversation about their actual expectations of you and hear what it is they have to say. Now, I realize in some families it's not possible to have this conversation at all. The situation is so alienated or so degraded that there's no communication and there's no trust. But even if that is the case, I think it would still be worth communicating with your immediate family enough to get a sense of who they are and how they are processing reality, and to understand the ways in which this is just simply not your reality. And you're under no obligation to live the way either they think you should live or the way that you think they think. Neither of the above. Your life is your life. And if Saturn conjunct Pluto in your birth sign says any one thing, it is not even vaguely subtle reminder. But the problem is that Pholus is coming along and injecting your consciousness with what would seem to be unresolved karma from the past. And it's necessary to own this to the degree where you can actually process it in some way and move through it and claim what's yours for yourself and dispense with the rest. The other thing going on that relates directly to the whole concept of family and to your experience of family and to your experience of whether you feel safe and secure on the planet is some very unusual activity in your fourth house, which is the house of emotion, safety, security, home base, and also of resolution of past material. And it's one of the most important houses of family because it's the house of the conditioning that we had as children and how that carries forward into adult life. And as you may know, Chiron is in the process of making its way into your fourth house, and this is going to call your attention to your roots. And one of the things about Capricorn that makes it so distinct among the signs is that it really matters to you to be acceptable to your ancestors and particularly to your parents and your grandparents. It's as if a very large piece of your identity is invested in their idea of you, and also in your sense of your own acceptance. And the thing is, when Chiron shows up and makes itself known in the fourth house, which it did for a little while last year and will do now for the next 8 years, when it arrives on February 18th, is that you simply have to distinguish yourself from that. Your idea, your experience of who you are is different than their perception of you. And your need to be accepted is different from all of it. And this is the thing, I think, that is coming under the most scrutiny. Now, for 7 years, you've lived with Uranus going through this house, and this has, on one level, been a kind of ongoing shakeup, and on another level, it's almost as if you've been able to be a little more freaky in this environment and get to a certain point where you feel like you're accepted for who you are, except that it may have served as a kind of a complete disruptor. I mean, that is possible. Uranus can do that. But my sense is that you have taken more freedom to be more like yourself and to reach a certain level of orientation. But the thing with Chiron is that it's no longer about being like yourself. It is being yourself. And it is removing the context of the acceptance by others and living the truth that you need to establish your kind of bottom line reality on your own terms entirely. Now, part of the unfinished business of the past in your family is sexual business. This is the discussion that's like, you know, farting at a cocktail party these days, because the one discussion that's not really welcome in the insanity of social media right now is the one about what goes on in family and the impact of family on us. It's all taken out of that frame and put into the frame of socializing and work experience and, you know, the media world and all this stuff. But the bottom line is what happened in your early household, and that does not necessarily mean something bad happened, but every child comes of age in the presence of their family. And the question is, what decisions did you make about yourself in the process of coming of age in the presence of your family? How much of their stuff did you take on? How much of what you perceived was their stuff influenced you without actually ever having sorted it through in some form of a context where you could do that? And one of the things that Chiron is going to do is to focus the issue of healing in this regard. And the first level of healing that is going to be necessary to connect with is the fact that you know, for every generation of humans going back thousands and thousands of generations, we've all been reproduced by sex. We all showed up in the world because somebody, particularly our parents, had sex. And so their attitudes and values toward their own sexuality have everything to do with your attitudes and values toward your existence. And there's a kind of a scrim or Chinese wall that gets placed here, because most people don't want to even think about their parents having sex. It's generally the most disgusting thing that you can even conceive of as far as sex is concerned. And therefore, the whole matter goes unexamined and largely unresolved. And there's a lot of material contained here. And while it's not, you know, necessary that you, like, you know, interview them about what their sexuality was like, they certainly may have said something. Some relatives are particularly unabashed at making comments that describe their experience of their partner, who could be, you know, your mother, for example, or your grandmother talking about your grandfather. And you may have a kind of a collection of things that you were told and things that you were told to do and told to be that may have been perfectly hypocritical. Additionally, there's the matter of what is percolated through religion. And chances are your religion is at least the religion of origin, where you started, is one of the tribes of Abraham, Jewish, Muslim, or Christian. And all of these have their issues, and they have their issues where women are concerned. None of these religions are friendly to women, none of them at all. And of them, the Jewish faith, at least gives women considerable power in the household and has had 5,600 or something years to work out the materials and the power relationship. And Judaism is one of the best religions in terms of adapting to the surrounding culture and the times in which it's happening due to certain historical factors associated with it. But in any case, there is this vitally important matter of the religious beliefs that were passed down to you and the way those translate into your experience of your sexuality, which is an existential experience, meaning it is not a topic, but it is a meta-theme that relates to your entire existence, top to bottom, floor to ceiling, and horizon to horizon. And, you know, this is not the way we normally think of things these days. We normally think of sexuality in this time in history as being a kind of a special interest topic, or, you know, you pick what your favorite flavor of porno is. I'm not talking about that at all. What I'm talking about is your organic sense of the universe, meaning of your existence. And this is a deep healing process, and sadly, it's not always possible to find people who can provide some guidance here, but they do exist. And the situation with finding them is it's often difficult to recognize people who are more open-minded than you are. And if you do recognize them and you do encounter them, their openness can serve as a kind of an affront to your sensibilities. They may seem overly liberal, or they may seem like they are hedonistic, or maybe living out some part of you that you feel as if it would have been better to have left behind. And I would look at that, if it's true, and contemplate whether you did leave anything behind and what motives you might have had for being having done so. Was there any form of virtue signaling involved, where you wanted to say, well, okay, I'm really a normal person, I'm really more like you, I will, you know, present myself in any way that I need to be acceptable, which means I might have to adapt and not, you know, encounter certain things in myself. The problem with that theory is that you basically are in a position where you're going to encounter everything, and where all of the unfinished business of the past, including of the past three generations, is now coming up. And you don't need to solve or settle this all at once. To the contrary, it's not about that. The most important thing you can do is to be in contact with your experience and in contact with your own personal needs. Now, one of those needs is to express yourself. And we see this basically exploding in your chart in the form of Uranus, the planet of revolution and invention, associated with Prometheus, who stole fire from the gods, went up to Mount Olympus with Athena, and thought they'd do humanity a big favor, and they stole the fire of the gods, which means the consciousness of the gods. It's a little bit like the Eden story, the knowledge, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? What a abstract thing that is for kids to try to understand, right? But in any event, Uranus brings a kind of consciousness where it goes and a kind of a shakeup. And where it's going is your fifth house. And your fifth house, any fifth house, relates to a few different topics which all kind of weave together as one, you know, interstitched thing, which is the house of pleasure, play, risk-taking, art, and fucking. And by fucking, I mean sex for play in any form that that takes. I don't mean sublimated sex for play, i.e. I will be a sculptor. I mean sex for play. But I also don't mean I will think about being a sculptor. I mean actually being a sculptor. I don't mean thinking about taking a chance. I mean actually taking the chance in some way. And this is what Uranus is going to invite you to do, to be daring in a way that you have not had much opportunity to be in the past, and where you may have had to lean into a kind of maturity ahead of your time, and that typically will result in a kind of a suppression of experience and suppression of feeling. And so one of the things that Uranus in the fifth is going to do is to push your curiosity and push your need for direct experience. And so you may find yourself wanting to take chances that you've never taken before. And that's the thing to do. One of the most useful tools we can use to change is to have experiences that change us. And that is the nature of the fifth house. It's where you are reborn based on the experiences you have. And these experiences are going to be driven by a combination of curiosity and creativity, and facilitated by the sense that it will be worth taking this risk, or at least be interesting taking this risk. And then you kind of accrue experiences that are based on this kind of experimental process. And to be clear, this is an entirely self-creative process. The idea here is not to make a painting in some way. The idea here is to make yourself. You are the art that is being worked on. You're not merely the kind of paintbrush practitioner. What you're changing and what you're exploring is yourself and your own consciousness. And this relates to all matters of eroticism and sexuality. And along those lines, it would be beneficial to be able to communicate with people around you that you are in a self-discovery process, and the things that you choose to do with them may certainly be fun and interesting and exciting, but ultimately you are here on the planet right now to learn who you are and learn about yourself and to go through the kinds of changes that you're going through. And while you're going through these changes, it would be very nice if, you know, you were to communicate in a full spectrum way with people, because you may be driven to make certain decisions that impact people. And it would be humane to be brave enough to be honest with people about the fact that you are in this very deep growth process, and to encourage people not to take certain things so personally, right? Even though it's hard, if you know you care about someone and you're in relationship to them and you have to make certain changes, you know, people may take it personally, but they will take it less personally if you are clear all the way through that, you know, you're in this formative and deeply important time in your life, and that there are going to have to be times when you prioritize your needs over those of other people. And this requires you to do something that's not that easy for people right now, which is to take a chance on communicating your deepest, innermost thoughts and feelings, rather than, you know, taking the option that says, well, I don't have to do that because it's really none of your business. I can do whatever I want. And you can just move on, but that's not the thing that's going to help you build your world, build relationships, build your business affairs, or enlist other people in your life as allies and supporters of your growth, rather than people who are merely subjected to it. And the same is true for yourself. I mean, you want to be your friend through this process. You're in the process of making very big decisions, and you have it in you to undertake these changes joyfully and to proceed with a sense of adventure and not take too seriously that at certain times there's going to be the feeling of the ground moving beneath you or crumbling beneath you, and you will need to stay present for yourself and keep your heart open and stay in a loving space. I'll be back at some point in the future with a tarot card reading. Sometimes they're soon. Sometimes they just show up mysteriously in 2 months. Sometimes feel like an air traffic controller with a good few things circling the airport, and I like to get everyone safely on the ground. Once again, I appreciate your patience with this reading, part two anyway. I would call your attention to Intelligence, the 2019 reading. There's a lot of stuff in there. The Capricorn reading came booming through loud and clear, and I am up to writing the Capricorn reading, so that'll be one of the first written pieces that is done. And you can find out more about that at intelligence.pw. Once again, thank you for your presence and your patience and for trusting me as your astrologer. And should you be looking for me, you may find me at efc@bookofblue.com. Bye for now.